morning, church. It's good to see everyone this morning here, and I pray that you are blessed by God's presence. God is good, and we are so glad you're here with us. If you're visiting us this morning, we especially welcome you. I'm glad you came out at 9 a.m., early service, bright and early. Way to go. This morning, we're going to be talking. We're in a series called Life, and this morning, a topic I have for you has to do with eternal life, and I was actually looking forward to preaching about it for a while because I realized I don't preach about heaven often enough. And, you know, heaven is one of those topics that, unfortunately, if you live a pretty good life, I mean, what I mean, if everything goes well, we don't think about it often, right? We usually tend to think about heaven when we visit a funeral or when we lose somebody who we love. Or maybe when we get older, but when everything's going nice, we kind of tend not to think about it. We kind of tend not to focus on that, and we lose a lot about because of doing that. And I remember as a kid, you know, I grew up, many of you know, I grew up in the former Soviet Union. My dad was a pastor of a persecuted church, and life was very, very difficult. And I remember that as a little kid going to church, people talked about heaven every single Sunday. People prayed about coming of Jesus Christ. People couldn't wait for Jesus to come back because life was absolutely miserable. Life was difficult. People were persecuted. You know, you were ostracized. Every day was a struggle. Every day was a fight to survive, to go on. And when things get very difficult, something within our heart turns our eye to something that's bigger, that's transcendent, that's permanent, that's eternal, and we turn our eyes to heaven. And I want us to look at heaven. Now, I want you to realize that it's such a huge topic that it's impossible to do even little justice to it in 25 or 30 minutes. So we're just going to touch on a few thoughts about heaven. We can't possibly cover everything in one message, but hopefully it's gonna whet your appetite, and you're gonna decide, hey, I'm gonna read about more. I want to open the Bible. I want to study more about heaven, and that's my desire through this message. So the scripture I have for you this morning is found in the book of Revelations, the very last book of the Bible. If you don't know where it is, just go to the end of the Bible, book of Revelations, chapter 21, and I'm gonna read starting verse 1. This is John writing. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.'" Jesus, we thank You that our life down here, Lord, it's so short, but this is not all there is to life, God. I thank You, God, so much that beyond what we see and sense with our physical senses, there is an eternal reality, God. There's eternal heaven. There's eternal home. And God, so often as we go through life, our heart aches for it. We have these desires that nothing in life satisfy, God. And we know deep inside our heart that we groan for time of redemption. That this world is not a home. And I pray, Father, as we look into Your Word this morning, and as we look about, as we talk about eternal life, and we talk about heaven, I pray, Spirit of God, that You awakened our desire for things that are eternal, things that are transcendent, things, God, that go beyond the reality of this world, Father. They go in the invisible realm, but it's so real. It's more real than our life that we see with our own physical eyes. Encourage everyone, speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share just a few thoughts with these I mentioned about heaven. And one of the first thoughts I want to share with you is the following, is that heaven is written on your heart. Heaven is written on your heart. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has set eternity in human heart. You see, from the time you were born, from the time you came into this world, as you go through life and as you try to, we have yearning in our heart for something. And sometimes we think the yearning is, if I just get that job I'm dreaming about, if I just get that education I was working so hard about, if I get to marry the person that I dreamed about, if I get the dream job, the dream house, and as we try to switch that desire for something else and else, we realize that as we reach that new height, there's something missing. That's not all we hoped it's going to be. You know, we have a desire. Probably the simplest way you can see heaven written in your heart is our desire for new things. I mean, who doesn't like new things? As a kid, we like new clothes. I mean, my daughters, they love new clothes. We like new things. We like new cars. We like new phones, right? We can't wait for new things to come out. There is a desire in the human heart for new things. And we chase after one thing to another. You know, people will chase after, you know, that new thing that comes out. And eventually, as they get wealthier and that they can afford any new thing, they begin to chase a new experience or a new relationship with a person, because in hopes that new thing will satisfy the deep longing in their heart, which Bible calls it eternity. That's heaven. But we all know that the newness of things wears out very quickly, right? That new car smell goes away. They come out with a new version of cell phone very quickly. Even the new relationship that you put so much hope with leaves you empty sometimes. It's not big enough. Listen, it's not big enough to fill the longing of your heart for heaven. That's how God made us to be. Listen, this world, it's not a home. That's not a home. As much as we try to feel comfortable, go through it. You know, when you go on vacation, when you go somewhere else, you know how many times we go on vacation and we could have the best of times. I mean, you can go to the best of the place in the world. You can go to Hawaii, to the most beautiful tropical place. And after you stay there for a couple of weeks and you come back home, and me and my wife often say this, it was nice, but there's nothing like home, right? Anybody felt like that? It's, you know, you could sleep in the best of hotels, in the best of comforts, but there's nothing like your own pillow, right? You know what I'm talking about? And that's the longing we have in our heart for things in life, is that we try all these, we go through life trying all these new things and new experiences and trying to fill that void with something, but there's this sense that it's not home. That it's not, everything is whole. Everything is not perfect. Everything is not as it should be yet. And listen, that's heaven. That's eternity written in your heart, because listen, we are meant for eternity. When God has created man, He has created us for eternity. He has not created us to go through life and suffer and die. That was a result of man's rebellion and sin. But in your soul, in your spirit, in your heart, there is desire. There is that spiritual DNA which says, I am made for something bigger. I am made for something bigger that the world does not have. And that what you're made for is eternity with God. Eternal life. Your heart longs for that. It's in your heart. It's in all of our hearts. And that's what John starts writing when he says, when I looked up, and John, you know, Revelations 21 is an experience, supernatural experience Apostle John had. God has revealed to him spirit realm. God has revealed to him things to come. God has revealed to him things in the future that still hasn't happened. That's going to happen at the end of the age. And he writes all these things that's going to happen, and this is the end of the book. And he says, and then I lifted my eyes and I saw new heaven. There's that word new. There is new heaven. There is new earth. There is new Jerusalem. Apostle Paul says we got to have a new body. See, heaven is a place where everything is new. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. Okay? That's that longing. Is that that's the place where everything that fell short down here is going to be made complete in heaven, because it's a new place. You're going to have a new body. Think about it. You don't have to count calories. I think that's amazing. It's a new place. It's a place that will blow your mind away. It's going to be a new heaven, new earth. It's going to be a new Jerusalem. It's going to be a new life. It's going to be absolutely new life. You see, our life on earth
This is just preparation for heaven. This is nothing. Think about it. We talk about it, eternal life, because it has no end. We can't possibly comprehend it. We can't possibly even fit it in our finite mind what it means to live eternally. What it means there is no concept of space and time. What it means that this will never end. We don't have that concept in our... It's difficult to grasp it with our mind, but that's what God calls a life in heaven. It's going to be eternal life. Kingdom of God, presence of Jesus, nonstop, 24/7, although there is no 24/7 in heaven, but nonstop. And listen, because of that, we live very differently. Okay? Because you know where you're going, because you know that there is more to this life than what you have over here, we, as followers of Christ, we as believers, we live very differently because of that. You know what Jesus said? Listen, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and can eat them and thieves can steal them. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where nobody can steal them, where nobody can destroy them. And because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And church, I know that sometimes, you know, we get lost in the comfort of things in the Western world. We get so busy with our activities and our devices, that we you know, I'll be honest with you, I rarely think about heaven. I should put it the following way. I don't think often enough about heaven. And our eyes and our hearts has to switch. Listen, if you're really fixated on heaven, you can make a real difference on earth. Amen? That's what C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity. He said that, if you read the history, you'll find out the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become ineffective in this one. You see, when I know what awaits me, when I know where I'm going, I'm not concerned about making a name for myself here. I'm not concerned about what people think of me here. Who cares? Listen, who cares? There's bigger things. Listen, heaven is written in your heart. Don't try to drown it with things. Don't try to recognize that. Recognize it in longing for the beauty, for new things, for something that's pure, something that's transcendent. Recognize that when you yearn for that, that's not just something that you want, that's eternal longing in your heart. And when you have that longing, lift your eyes to Jesus and says, "Oh Jesus, I can't wait. I can't wait." Heaven is written in our hearts. Second thought I want to share with you is the following, that heaven is a real home. Heaven is your real home. Listen, I don't know what kind of house you're living, and maybe your house is not very new, it's not very nice. Don't worry about it. Listen, don't worry about it. You have a better house up there. Amen? It's nothing that you could possibly compare what we have down here on earth. You know, Jesus said to disciples in John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, I firmly believe that when we're gonna get to heaven, that sense of home that we search for when we're trying to buy a new house, when we try to decorate a new house and try to make it all nice and comfy, and we all yearn for that sense of just rest and home. When you're gonna get to heaven, that's exactly what you're gonna feel. It's gonna feel very familiar. It's gonna feel like you are at home. Because that's where God has prepared for you, man. That's Jesus says, "I go and I prepare a place for you," and He prepared a place exactly for you. And exactly everything you dreamed of and wanted, and that desire to have home, that's where you gotta get to heaven. And listen, people who live down here in the biggest mansion, and people who live here in cardboard box, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. Because people who lived in the biggest mansion, their mansion will look like a cardboard box to what God has for you in heaven. It'd be absolutely, it'll blow your mind away. Not for a moment, but for eternity. You know what I believe what's going to happen? That feeling that you have when you get something new, okay? Whether it's a new phone or a new car, that feeling will never wear out in heaven. It will never wear out in heaven. Because if God in His infinite wisdom could create something so beautiful in this world, can you imagine what He created, something that's going to last for eternity? It's something that's going to surprise you day after day after day for infinity, for eternity. Every single day, you're going to be surprised by new and amazing things that God has prepared for those who love Him. That's heaven. That's what God has for us. And listen, because of that, we as believers, we not just live differently, we die differently. We die very differently. See, as a follower of Christ, we don't fear death. We don't fear death. Apostle Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Do you sense any fear there? There's no fear. Listen, if you're not afraid to die, there's nothing you can be scared of. I mean, what else can you be scared with? Because listen, the Word of God says to be absent from this body means to be present with the Lord. The very minute your eyes will close here for the last time and your eyes will open in eternity, your eyes are going to see Jesus. And listen, you won't miss this dump. Trust me. You won't miss it. You won't miss the people who are here. You won't miss the place. You just won't miss it because God... You know, I love how Apostle Paul says, he wrote about heaven. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. You know, sometimes people write their experiences, they have out-of-body experiences and they go to spirit realm and they see something like heaven. And I believe a lot of those experiences are real, but it's only their experience. It's what they saw when they went up there. But Apostle Paul said, listen, there is no words. There is no parallels. There is no comparison. You can't even comprehend what God has prepared for you. It's beyond our human mind. It's impossible to understand. It's impossible to fully grasp because it's eternal. Because it's where presence of God is nonstop, visible, manifest. It's not anymore different realm. It's where you see everything that's invisible right now. You're going to see that in heaven. There is one Christian man, his name is F.B. Meyer. He wrote on his deathbed, he said, I've just heard to my great surprise that I have but a few days to live. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have entered the palace. Don't trouble to write. We shall meet in the morning. See, that's an attitude of a believer, is that if we are to fixate our heart with heaven, I believe as the followers of Christ, if it is something on our mind every single day, that there is nothing that can scare you. Terminal sickness, who cares? You see, our heart is so, because we are not fully obsessed with eternal things, because we're not fully obsessed with heavenly things, that's why sometimes scary news on earth, they scare us to their core, because we feel just this humongous loss. And listen, yes, death is loss. And when dear ones die, it hurts, it's painful, because it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to end. That's not how God has created this world to be. That's why it hurts. That's why it's painful. But listen, if my heart is fixated in heaven, you'll get through everything. Amen? You'll get through it. Because this is not the end. You see, I once attended a funeral of one lady who, she professed to believe in Christ, but most of her friends were atheists. And they came up and they got up and they began to speak, and it was so sad to watch. Because their words were words of hopelessness. absolute despair. They could wish that that person who died will have a soft bed in the grave. That literally was their words. That's all they could wish for. And for them, it's absolutely painful sense of despair, but that's not what you and I as the followers of Christ should feel. Listen, we die differently, amen? We die differently. There is a story of it's a very tragic story. Empress of Ireland, 1926. It was a ship that collided in the St. Lawrence River with another ship. And it began to sink very quickly. Now that ship, there was over 120 Salvation Army officers. And when they realized that this ship is about to sink, they rushed to get those life vests and realized the ship did not have enough life vests for everybody on board. So the Salvation Army officers that took their life vests and gave it to everybody around and said, "Listen, we can die better than you." And almost every single one of them died because they gave away the life vest to somebody else. Because, listen, as a child of God, you can die better than the world does. I know it doesn't sound like a comfort to you, man. But listen, when you're facing death, when you're facing somebody who you love, who's facing death, we grieve differently. Apostle Paul says, 1 Thessalonians, we do not grieve like the world does. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. Oh, there will be that eternal morning when we're going to rise and the sun will never set. And you're going to see those people who went ahead of you, who loved God. And there'll be an amazing reunion that I'm going to end. It's never will end. God has set heaven in your heart. Heaven is our true home. Last thought I want to share with you is that heaven is our ultimate hope. Heaven is our ultimate hope. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 and 20 says, "This hope is strong and trustworthy, anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us." What the Bible talks about, listen, when you read about hope in the Bible, it's almost always linked to eternity. You see, we hope not because it's some kind of thing, well, hopefully tomorrow will be a better day. No, that's not our hope is. Our hope, the end of our hope is always eternity. It's always in heaven. And what the Bible says is that hope that we cling to in life, is, he says, it's that anchor that is anchored in heaven itself, in a sanctuary of God where Jesus is. It's anchored there. So no matter what you go through in life, no matter what you're facing, listen, you'll be fine because you hold that anchor. And that anchor is secured in a place that's unshakable. It's secured in the place that's beyond our circumstances, that's beyond sickness, that's beyond loss, that's beyond accidents. The anchor of our soul is in heaven. And we can go through life, we hang on to hope. Listen, I love the scriptures, how the Bible talks about in hope, against hope, he believed. See, that's hope that's anchored in heaven. That's hope. And listen, no matter what you go through, I don't lose hope. Listen, don't lose hope. Not because tomorrow you're going to wake up and somehow magically things are going to be different. No, because no matter what's going to happen tomorrow, you know what's going to happen in the end. There is a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that our life is anchored in heaven. Our life is anchored in things that are eternal, things that are transcendent, things that are beyond the circumstances, beyond what anything and anybody can do. Apostle Paul writes in Romans that there is no power, there is no death, there is no principality, there is no circumstances that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing. Listen, that's where our hope is. That's where our hope is. You know, I think heaven is also, it's a place where God's going to make every wrong right. I love the verse Apostle John said that we just read in the beginning, that it will be a place where God Himself will wipe out every tear. Think about that. God Himself will wipe out every tear. Every misunderstanding will be cleared out. Everything that somebody accused you of wrongly, it will be brought right. Every wrong that was ever done to you, that was never made justice down here on earth, God's going to make right in heaven. It's a place where God will make every wrong right. And there will be no sense of injustice. There will be no sense of being robbed, being lost, being misunderstood, because God will make it right. He'll make everything right. You know, I remember a lot of people say, well, when I'm going to die and go to heaven, I'm going to go talk to Apostle Paul and I'm going to ask him, why did you write that? I'm going to talk to Apostle Peter. Listen, when you're going to go to heaven, you'll have no questions. There'll be no more questions, because when your eyes are going to see Jesus, it'll make sense. Everything will make sense. You'll see a bigger picture. Every missing puzzle that you don't have down here, you're going to see up there. That's where it's lost. You know when you make a puzzle sometimes and there is no last piece? That's how our life is. And those missing pieces there in heaven, it all will make sense. That's heaven. And church, I hope that this message, I hope that these scriptures, they awaken desire for that, because that's where you're made for. Heaven, you're made for transcended eternal things. Don't shy away from that. Don't, you know, a lot of people are scared to think of it as like, oh, it means I'm going to die. I don't want to think about when I'm going to die. No, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. You know what amazes me? You know, my kids ask me sometimes about people who die and stuff. Kids have no fear of death. Until a certain age, they have no fear of dying. For them, it doesn't scare them. They just talk about it and they're, that's fine. We'll see them again. That's enough for them, right? And that's how, that's supposed to be our heart. Is that when, even when somebody we dearly love, when they die, we'll see them. If they love God, if they follow Jesus, we'll see them. And let me finish with this thought. Listen, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door, and nobody comes to the Father except for me. No, John 3:16 we all quote, for God so loved the world that anybody or everybody who will believe in Him will not die, will not perish, but have eternal life. Just before that, if you read in John 3, it's a conversation Jesus has with this spiritual guru. His name is Nicodemus. And he, all of a sudden, he was awakened about eternal things. And he came to Jesus and says, hey, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus says simply, you must be born again. You must be born again. Because physical things can only give birth to physical things, but spiritual things can only give birth to eternal things. And I wish I could tell you there's that just because somebody's a nice person, they went to heaven, or just because somebody tried to do something nice to go to heaven, that's not what takes people to heaven. The only one, the only thing that can take you to heaven is Jesus Christ. It's not how hard you try. It's not how hard you work. It's not how religious you are. It's not how religious your parents were. It's how much you trusted Jesus as your only way to get to heaven. Hallelujah. There is no other way. There is no other way. And that's a very comforting thought on one end. It's also a very awakening thought for everybody who doesn't love Jesus yet. Well, we got to pray for them. We're going to pray that God touches their heart. We're going to pray that God captivates their heart with eternal things, with things that way beyond our mind and way beyond what we can understand. Amen? Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. Father, we thank You that although we don't feel at home, right here at home so often, and the longing of our heart for something bigger, for something newer, for something that will last, something that will satisfy, oh God, You know that. You've made us like that. You created us, God, for bigger things. And eternal things and transcendent things. Things their eyes can't see. But they are more real than what we can see with our eyes, God. And I pray, God, right now, as we read these scriptures, we talked about heaven, I pray, Spirit of God, that You awaken these eternal desires within us. I pray that every fear will fall away. And I pray that that this message will put into perspective our yearnings and our desires and our strivings, and how often we care too much about things that don't matter. How often we spend our life pursuing things that have no eternal significance, God. Help us to be so heaven-minded that will put everything in our life in the proper perspective, God. That we will store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That we will invest in things that will last into eternity. That we will spend our time and our energy and our life on things that don't die, that don't fade, that don't rust, that you can't steal them, God, because they're eternal. That we'll surrender our life, God, on your altar and say, God, whatever you've called me to do, whatever you've called me to be, I want to surrender my life. Here's my life. Here's my remaining days. Here's my money. Here's all I've got, Lord. This is yours, God. Do whatever you desire. Do whatever you want. I want to be living for heaven, not just for things down here on earth. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll encourage us. We pray, Father, for everyone of our loved ones who are family and friends who do not know you. I pray, Spirit of God, that you touch their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'll captivate their hearts with heaven. I pray, Jesus, that you'll captivate their hearts, God, and they'll surrender their life to you, God, because you are the only one. You are the only one. There is no way. There is no other commandment. There is no other system. There is no other person. There is only one mediator between God and man. It's Jesus Christ. Oh God, touch them. Awaken their hearts. Save them. Restore their life. Help us to be an instrument of your love and your grace every time we encounter these people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. If you can be seated for just 1 minute, we have one very important announcement before we're going to all go. I'm going to call up Mary. Yuri's over here. Come on, brother, here. You guys can be seated for just 1 second. We have a bit of a sad news this morning, but Yuri and Mary has been our worship leaders for the last 18 months, and God has blessed us with them immensely. God has, you enjoyed. Amen. Amen. We've all enjoyed their gifting, their anointing, and their time they invested into this church. And they've informed us that they sense that God is calling them to some other things. They're going to be doing some business in different states. Mary's going to pursue ministry education in different states, so they won't be able to be with us. So they tearfully stepped down and wanted to have somebody else take their place. So today is the time we want to say our goodbyes. We want to bless them. We want to honor them. We want to thank them for what they've done here so far. So if we can be on our feet, we're going to pray and bless them. And you guys can come and thank them in person after we're done here. So Jesus, we thank you so much for Mary and Yuri. We thank you, God, for the time and energy and everything invested into this church, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for time we have in your presence together, God. We thank you that we got to enjoy what you blessed them and gifted them with, God. And I thank you that you're God who will lead them, whatever you call them to do, God. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you guide them and lead them by your Holy Spirit. Speak so clearly into their lives. Bless them, reward them for their faithfulness, God. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys.